Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious. It's day 18 of the federal sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs, and the testimony that we heard today was some of the most disturbing and frankly sickening that we have heard so far. On the stand, once again, was the woman known only as Jane, and what she described wasn't just abuse. It was vile and pornographic, and it was cruelty, emotional cruelty at the highest level. Jane said that she was forced into sex acts to the point of exhaustion. She described total submission to Diddy, a life built around pleasing a man that she said controlled everything, her body, her image, even her rent. She took us inside the so-called love contract, a $10,000 a month deal that she says kept her financially afloat but emotionally trapped. She broke down as she described back-to-back sex acts that Diddy demanded with three different escorts on her birthday. She described how she wrote about her desperation to stop these freak-offs, hotel nights, she called them. Some of those messages she sent to Diddy, some she just journaled in her iPhone. And today, in front of a packed courtroom, Jane reached her breaking point, sobbing to the point of being unable to speak. We are breaking it all down, the texts, the money, the hotel nights, and the power imbalance that prosecutors say is at the center of their sex trafficking case. Let's get into it. But I'm going to warn you, it is very, very graphic. This podcast is dirty and upsetting, and I feel terrible for those in the courtroom. I feel awful for the jurors who did not ask for this. I at least signed up for it. But I've had a hell of a day just getting through it. I'm sickened. At times, I literally wanted to throw up. But okay, forewarned, right? Here we go. Day 18 started with Jane. She was back on the stand, continuing her testimony. She's testifying under a pseudonym. She entered the courtroom in a long maroon-colored blazer. It went all the way down to her ankles. She had matching pants. Her dark hair was parted and sharply to one side as though deliberately trying to conceal part of her face. And it was the side of her face that would conceal her from Diddy in the court, at least from her seeing Diddy. As she took her place on the stand, her hair almost acted like a curtain, shielding her from the man that she came here to testify against, Sean Diddy Combs. Prosecutor Comey picked up right where she left off on day 17, asking Jane about a trip to Las Vegas aboard Diddy's private jet. Jane said it was a two-night trip and that one of those nights included what she called was a hotel night with an escort. And we have heard about these nights ad nauseum, right? They've been described before, but they were described by Cassie Ventura, Diddy's other ex-girlfriend. Cassie said that Diddy called them freak-offs with her, and she did too. Jane, though, calls them hotel nights, and she said the one in Las Vegas was not her idea. It was Diddy's. She told the jury how Diddy used the phrase going off the grid. To him, it meant letting loose, being wild and carefree. But for Jane, she said it meant something else entirely. She told the jury that Diddy referred to her as his, quote, freak, and expected her to behave like one, sexually uninhibited and always, always available. And when it came to protection, Jane said condoms were not allowed, not because she did not ask for them, but because Diddy said he didn't want to see them in the sex acts. And because Jane said Diddy lost interest in her and everything every time she asked the escorts to use them. She told the jury that she asked for condoms multiple times, including twice where she asked the escort directly, but that Diddy either brushed her off or made her feel guilty for even bringing the subject up. And then came the audio. The government played a nearly 9-minute recording, a conversation between Jane, Diddy, and an escort named Dawn. In the tape, Diddy could be heard entering the room and questioning what was happening. Jane responded that she hadn't been able to use protection that night. Jane was asked by prosecutors why she felt the need to get Diddy's permission for an escort to wear a condom who was going to have sex with her. And through tears, Jane said it was simple. She didn't want to upset Diddy. She told the jury that she feared what might happen if she did, specifically that saying no may cause agitation, disappointment, and consequences. Then came one of the most disturbing moments of the morning, echoing some of what we heard yesterday from Jane, but today it went deeper. Jane testified that after sex with another man, one that was handpicked by Diddy, she was not allowed to clean herself up. Instead, she said that Diddy would have sex with her immediately afterwards, and she described staying in that state while he was, quote, playing with the bodily fluids until she was finally allowed to shower. And then she'd be told to do it all over again, sometimes with the same escort, sometimes with a new escort who'd arrive, and sometimes, believe it or not, and I am having trouble actually believing this is possible, sometimes with four different escorts in one night. I should remind you, if you're trying to do the math on this, that she said that these freak-off hotel nights could go up to 30 hours with no sleep and a lot of drugs in order to stay awake. She said at least 3 to 4 hours it would take with one escort. So just imagine the exhaustion that she would feel afterwards. You're going to hear a lot about that in a moment, that she did bring up how exhausted she was and that she needed breaks. But hang on to your hat about what she was told about that. She testified that everything was always under Diddy's direction. He decided how long the sessions would take and when she would be able to take breaks, when she was allowed to eat, when she was allowed to sleep, and when she had to just keep going. Jane cried again and again on the stand as she described the only ways that she could communicate that she needed a moment to rest with Diddy. She'd say that she was hungry or she'd quietly lie down, but that Diddy wouldn't take the hint. She recalled him saying, quote, "You're not getting tired on me, are you? Let's finish strong." Do you remember hearing that before? Let's finish strong? Because that was something that stood out to me and made me wince. Cassie. Cassie said the same thing when she was getting tired and she didn't want to continue. Diddy said to her, according to Cassie on the stand, "Let's finish strong." When the prosecutor asked why she just didn't say no, Jane choked up again and said, quote, "I don't know." Prosecutor followed up, "What did he give you to keep going?" And Jane replied, "Ecstasy." She said she took a lot of ecstasy during those hotel nights, and she said it was to numb herself to survive it. Again, I'm hearkening back to Cassie because she said almost the exact same thing, that she tried to numb herself to get through these endless hotel nights just to please Diddy, just to avoid the consequences, and that drugs were her way out. Jane recalled two hotel nights that stuck with her because both of them made her cry, she testified. The first one was supposed to be a date night. At least she said that's what she thought. But instead it turned into an 18-hour session with another escort. She told the jury that Diddy said it would be quick, but that he left her, still high, still shaken, and didn't return for hours. Jane testified that when she cried, he looked at her and said, quote, "Are you crying?" with a look of disgust. Next, Jane described another night, this one starting at Diddy's house. Jane remembered taking a shower with Diddy and then heading to a hotel, already extremely high. At one point, she embraced his butler, a small moment that seemed to comfort her before having to have sex with an escort named Paul. Jane said that later on, she broke down crying in the hotel shower. She testified that Diddy brushed her off, saying, quote, "Don't do this right now, I'm too high," end quote. And as disturbing as that night was, Jane admitted she developed coping strategies. She turned robotic, she said, and again, she turned to drugs to get through all of it. She told the jury that even though she was the one who had to do all the work, up to 30 hours of straight sex with different escorts, one after the other, she still tried to please Diddy afterwards. For her, she said, the only relief came when the nightmare was over and they could return to Diddy's house. She said that's when she felt the most safe, and that she would cook for Diddy, that she'd massage Diddy, that she'd put on his favorite shows and cuddle with Diddy on the couch. This after all that she had already done for this man in the hotel.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time.
For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
She testified that she often texted him afterwards just to say, I love you. Sometimes Jane said she would send explicit sex messages. Jane told the jury that it was all part of the fantasy, something she believed she had to keep up because she wanted to please him, she said. But the messages shifted. In a text dated September 17th, 2023, Jane told Diddy she no longer wanted to do the hotel nights. She wrote, "Ever since I opened Pandora's box, I have never been able to close it. I am confusing your lust for me, for real love. I don't want to play this role anymore. It's dark, sleazy. We need to talk like adults and figure out how we're going to go from here. I feel like it's the only reason you have me around and why you pay for the house." End quote. That message didn't come out of nowhere. Jane told the jury that after her birthday and everything that happened that night, she needed space. Jane testified that by 2024, hotel nights had moved beyond hotels. Some happened in Diddy's Miami mansion, she said, others at her own home in Los Angeles, but that things began tapering off after February. And then came another moment that shattered Jane's composure. The prosecutor asked Jane how many different men she'd been paired with during those years from 2021 to 2024, and Jane broke down on the stand sobbing. She managed to identify a few of them: Paul, Don, Leo, Michael. Their photos were shown in court. Paul, she said, was a personal trainer and escort who also trained Diddy. Leo was white and nicknamed Italian. She identified a third man from 2021 and a hotel night that happened then at La Montage Hotel, said he was bald, black, sweaty, and smelly. That's how she described him. She testified that she begged Diddy that she didn't want to continue, but that Diddy didn't care. According to Jane, Diddy told her to go through with it. As she complied, she said that Diddy had sex with her while the sweaty man hovered over her head. Afterward, Diddy brought in another escort, she said, Paul, calling him Plan B. She said Diddy blindfolded Jane and asked her to touch Paul's chest. Jane said that Paul's energy felt safe, but that she didn't want to have sex with him. She identified Michael, another escort that she had met at the Edition Hotel in LA. She said she found him kind, even attractive, but again, that she didn't want to have sex, though it happened anyway. And then came her birthday in Miami in 2022. How do I say this? This is the kind of story I'm about to tell you where I think you need to pour yourself a whiskey or absinthe or whatever the hell it is that gets you through the day, because this was where I was so sickened. Jane recalled expecting for her birthday a quiet celebration with her boyfriend, Diddy. They had dinner at Nobu, she said. He gave her a gift. And then, to her disappointment, another escort was waiting in their room back at the hotel. Jane sobbed as she described what followed. The now familiar pattern: lingerie, small talk, dancing, and sex for hours or days. It had become robotic, she said. During the act, she says, she asked for a condom. She said that Diddy glared at her and mouthed the words, quote, "You better not ask for a fucking condom," end quote. She described yelping, a small sound out of fear. She said she didn't want to upset Diddy. Jane said that eventually Diddy handed the man a condom, but then he walked out of the room, lost total interest. How about that? Later that night, she said Diddy's mood shifted again. Jane testified that he surprised her with a cake and balloons in another suite. But to her shock and disappointment, another escort was ready, this one named Cabral. Cabral entered the suite and Jane testified that she had sex with him for hours, doing everything that Diddy wanted. Foreplay, multiple rounds, and that when Cabral finally left the next morning, yet another man walked in. Dawn. Jane said she had sex with him too. That would be three escorts all through the night on her birthday, after she'd said she didn't want to do that. And after she'd asked for condoms and was told no. And then when, you know, Diddy apparently acquiesced to the condoms, he made her feel like it was over. The mood was gone. He walked out, she said. Jane broke down again, describing this second round of sex with escorts on her birthday. She told the jury that this hotel night hurt more because it was her birthday. Jane said that she sat on the couch trying to prepare herself and then asked for a condom. But again, she said Diddy resisted. Next, the government showed the jury a photo of a man that Jane said she had met in New York while visiting Diddy. Jane said that she was actually afraid to go on this trip to New York, afraid that she'd be set up for another hotel night. Jane said that Diddy promised her it would just be the two of them, a romantic night together, dinner, shopping, no hotel night. But on the flight to New York, Jane said that Diddy texted her, quote, "Do you want entertainment tonight?" Entertainment, apparently the word he used for sex workers. Jane said she was devastated by this, that he had promised things would be different. She said that she and Diddy checked into the Trump Hotel, that she sat there and was meant to wait 40 minutes in the SUV outside while Diddy chatted with his entourage on the sidewalk. She said during this time she snapped a photo of the hotel's exterior. Jane told the jury that she could even see the red lights up there in the windows, a signal that the hotel night was being set up, probably by the staff. Inside, and when I say staff, let me break for a minute, because it wasn't the staff of the hotel. Typically, the testimony has indicated that it was the staff of Diddy, of Diddy's enterprise, right? Of Diddy's business, of Diddy's Bad Boy Entertainment. Inside, she said that Diddy was defensive when she reminded him that she did not want to do this anymore. He told her that she didn't have to, but then he handed her ecstasy and said, "I have something coming." When Jane walked into the suite's living room, the escort was already there. She told the jury, quote, "I just wasn't into anything about this guy." Jane said she pulled Diddy into the bedroom to talk, to tell him that she couldn't do it, but that again, Diddy was agitated. When asked why she felt like she had to go through with it anyway, Jane's voice cracked. Quote, "That's a hard question to answer. I just wanted to make him happy," end quote. Harder to explain, sometimes she even arranged the entire hotel night as a surprise for Diddy. Jane told the jury that she did it because she knew it was expected, because she'd learned to read between the lines. Quote, "He'd say something like, 'I can't wait to see what you have for me,'" end quote. And Jane said that she always wanted to make him happy, and quote, "I told him I loved him deeply every single day." Jane told the jury about another hotel night, one she'd arranged by texting that escort named Cabral and asking if he'd come to New York. She said that he was excited. He booked a flight that same night from Atlanta, and she paid for it using her own credit card. Jane testified, however, that Diddy later reimbursed her. Remember, that's important for the sex trafficking, right? Because they're purchasing tickets for a sex worker to cross state lines. So that's all going to work its way in. And that trip was from Atlanta to New York. So, you know, a couple of states. Jane said they had sex at the Trump Hotel in New York. She said Combs' assistant made sure there was, quote, "several thousand dollars left at the front desk for Cabral, the sex worker." Again, remember this for the sex trafficking charge. That love, or what she believed was love, certainly came at a cost. Because behind the scenes, there was always cash. It seemed to be everywhere, she testified. She said that she'd find stacks of cash tucked inside nightstand drawers, or she would watch as it was quietly dropped off by staff, either chief of staff or security. And if Diddy ever ran low like he did in 2022, it wasn't for long, she said. In some instances, Diddy would call his chief of staff, Christina Corum, or sometimes a security guard, one of Diddy's security guards, would bring more. But what happened behind closed doors was not just about money or control. Or maybe it was. It's going to be for the jury to figure this one out. But Jane said what followed was pain, physical, emotional, and even medical. She said it started with something that seemed small but wasn't. Toward the end of 2022 and early into 2023, Jane said Diddy asked her to get her nipples pierced and that he even picked the place where she could get it done. And she said his assistant, Christina Corum, booked the appointment. Again, he's using his staff to do things that I'm sure the prosecutors are going to say she was a sex slave and all these things that were being done were illegal. That will be the prosecutor's viewpoint, right? And that he used his staff to carry out these illegal acts. I am questioning a lot during Jane's testimony, just in terms of the legality of the acts that Jane and Diddy went through. I'll get to that in a moment. I don't want you to be mad at me, but I've looked very, very carefully, only with the legal goggles on, honestly. My emotional goggles are all over the place, but the legal goggles on Jane are far more narrow than they were for Cassie, because Cassie was beaten to a pulp. We saw it. We saw it on video. She testified to it many, many times after that, and so did other people corroborating the beatings that she said she underwent. Jane has not talked about beatings. Jane has just talked about how she had an apartment and didn't want to lose it, and that's why she kept going through all these things and didn't want to disappoint the man she loved. But again, I'll get to that. So the nipple piercing. Jane said she went through with it, but that a year later she ended up taking the piercings out. And then Jane testified that Diddy did not take it lightly, that he demanded, quote, "Where are my piercings? Where are my piercings?" But the physical pain that Jane said she experienced went far deeper than the piercings. She testified that every hotel night left her hurting. She said that she was expected to stay in certain positions, sometimes for hours during foreplay. And the result, she said, was back pain and also vaginal pain and constant infections. She said she suffered from near nightly urinary tract infections, that she took antibiotics regularly and often dealt with soreness and discomfort, but that she rarely said anything. Jane said that she sometimes took a week off to recover, but that other times she didn't. And by the way, she also testified that Diddy would choose her clothes, the lingerie, the ultra, ultra high stripper heels, and that she was meant to stay in those stripper heels the entire night, like all during the sex. And she said the baby oil was so just constant that she had trouble staying in those stripper heels, and that that also caused her a lot of pain and discomfort. When she was asked why she never told Diddy that she was in this kind of pain or had these UTIs, urinary tract infections, pain with the nipple piercings, etc., Jane said that she did not want to risk upsetting him. When she was asked why she didn't just stop outright, Jane broke down in tears, unable to explain it. She told the jury that when she did ask for a break, Diddy would become upset and dismissive and belittling. Jane said that she began using the Notes app on her iPhone to process her thoughts, and she said it helped her to cope. She explained that sometimes she found the courage to actually send some of those messages to Diddy, telling him that she didn't want to keep on doing these hotel nights, trying to put an end to that sleazy, she said, part of her relationship. But when Jane poured out her heart to Diddy, she said, sending him these long emotional messages about how used and broken she felt, she said Diddy texted her back, quote, "Let's just be friends. I can't take this part for real. I'm tired of these long texts telling me what I'm doing wrong." At this point, I have to tell you something very important, because it's all about how not you and I react to this. It's all about how the jury reacts, right? How's the jury taking in all of this testimony? And I can tell you, at this point, several jurors reacted significantly. Some of them looked annoyed. Others looked genuinely taken aback by how casually Diddy dismissed her in these text messages.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle.
With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time.
For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And according to Jane, at the end of their relationship, Diddy told her he didn't even remember her asking to stop the hotel nights. She told the jury that she had been saying the same thing again and again, over and over again to him since 2021, but it never seemed to register. And clearly, with him saying he didn't remember, maybe she was right. To prove it, the government read a text that she sent early in their relationship on November 22, 2021. In it, Jane described feeling jealous and sad after a trip with Diddy that turned into yet another hotel night. Jane said that what hurt her wasn't the encounter itself, it was watching him giving meaningful attention to another woman. The kind of connection that she said she was longing for, that she was just putting herself through these hotel nights, hoping to receive finally at the end of them. When asked why she felt jealous, knowing that Diddy had other women in his life, Jane's answer cut deep. She said, quote, "Because I felt mistreated. I came there to do a hotel night, and he was giving this other woman quality time that I needed and never got." In the midst of her emotional spiral, Jane said that she tried to set a boundary. She asked Diddy for a break, just a breather, because she said the hotel nights were becoming too much. In response, the government played a voice note that Diddy sent her. In it, he scolded her for cursing at him, insisting he was single and entitled to sleep with whoever he wanted, and downplayed the other woman's presence, saying that she was only there to work out with him. Jane told the jury that the message left her feeling unstable and confused. She tried to explain to Diddy that it wasn't about jealousy over who he was with. It was about how differently she was being treated than the other women. She felt like she was carrying the emotional, the physical, and the sexual weight of their relationship while the others weren't expected to do so. Later, she said that Diddy FaceTimed her to smooth things over. And the next message that she sent to him simply read, "Baby." Then came another string of messages from February 11th, 2022. At one point, Jane said she stopped responding to Diddy, ignoring the calls from both of his phones, actually. "He was upset," she said. But there was a reason for her silence, she said. She testified that Diddy left her behind in a hotel room after one of these freak-offs, right? That the hotel room was full of, quote, things, she said, and that he got on a plane to celebrate another woman's birthday. And what made this worse was that Jane had just had sex with multiple men with Combs the night before for him. But then she saw an Instagram post that Diddy had gone all out for another woman's birthday, a private jet, a villa on an island, friends flown in, lavish gifts, every detail carefully planned. She remembered staring at the screen, she said, thinking, "What a drastic difference this is," end quote. On the stand, her voice broke as she said, quote, "I felt so cheap." And in that moment, she decided she never wanted to do another hotel night again. But why that moment, right? Because there were other moments that she testified to that Diddy would finish with the freak-off, you know, marathon, and then just leave her there alone to recover, sometimes for days, and not just recover, to clean it up. And she said many of these times he would leave her to get on a plane to see another woman. Jane said that Diddy made her countless promises, dinners, getaway time, real time together. But when the government asked how many of those promises he actually kept, Jane answered, quote, "Hardly any of them." By early 2023, Jane testified that she hit her breaking point. She told the jury about a text that she sent to Diddy in February that she described as a desperate plea to change the dynamic of their relationship. The message came shortly after a traumatic birthday where she said Diddy forced her to have sex with three male escorts in succession while he watched. Jane, typically soft-spoken, was now wailing on the witness stand while she was describing having sex with those three male escorts in a row. She also shared that in November of 2023, she wrote a note to herself in her phone, a message that she wished she could have sent to Diddy, but was too afraid to do so. The note said, quote, "I'm sorry I don't want to do drugs for days and days and have you use me to fulfill your freaky, wild desires in hotel rooms," end quote. Jane told the jury that when she didn't sound enthusiastic enough in a text about an upcoming freak off, Diddy lashed out. He reminded her of the lifestyle that he provided, the house, the money, the smile that he had paid to perfect, right? Her actual teeth. She told the jury that to this day, Diddy still pays for her home. And that is how court ended today. It was a rough day of testimony for Jane and for all of the people who had to listen to it. Several jurors had those significant reactions. Many of them were engrossed in her testimony, watching her at every moment. Some totally focused on her, even turning their back to Diddy. But some also looked right over at Diddy, right? Especially in the moments of cruelty, the emotional cruelty, and this the sexual cruelty that she was describing from the witness stand. Especially when she described that he denied condoms and scoffed at her for crying. And when they were shown screenshots from the freak-offs, one woman had her head in her hands, one of the jurors, and she was rubbing her temples. Jane said that she was manipulated, recorded, and handed off to men endlessly, all while telling Sean Combs that she loved him. We are not finished her testimony yet. I thought today I was going to hear something else. Look, I was devastated by this. I was sickened by how Sean Combs allegedly treated her. And I'm just going to say it outright. He is a horrible person. He's disgusting, foul, vile. I only know of one other person that is, you know, has these kinds of sexual predilections and is this, you know, cruel and callous with women. And that's Peter Nygaard. I've done a whole 6-part podcast series. It's on the channel about Peter Nygaard. And his kink went even filthier, like feces. But Diddy reminds me of him. Disgusting. I'm having problems, though, legally speaking, with Jane's testimony so far. And I am open-minded to where she may go next, because again, it's not over yet. But so far, what Jane has been describing is a terrible, terrible boyfriend. Awful. The kind of boyfriend most people would leave, right? Jane has been saying over and over again that he paid for her apartment. That was their deal. That's not a crime, right? That is a point where most people might reasonably say, you should have left and it sounds like you didn't because you liked your nice apartment, $10,000 a month apartment. I don't have a $10,000 a month apartment and I sure as hell wouldn't do anything of the sort to get one. And that might be how jurors feel. That may be how you feel. The emotional abuse and trauma he put her through certainly is despicable. But I don't know that you can call this criminal, right? I don't know you can call it criminal. Here's what I do know. I think people on the jury are going to hate him. They're going to hate him for being a terrible, terrible person. Just a filthy, foul. I don't have enough adjectives, honestly. Piece of shit. That may get them over any doubt they might have if he's guilty of other crimes, right? When you hate the defendant so much, you're not willing to give as much reasonable doubt. Like, you're not willing to give any reasonable doubt. And when you're on the fence most of the time, what does your gut say? Fuck it. He's guilty of something. So convict him. This is where I think Jane's testimony may be really important. Not that, again, so far, I think she is amounting to sex trafficking. Not for her, anyway. The prostitutes that they're flying over state lines and paying, if using company funds and using assistants to set it all up, yeah, that's a crime. But with Jane, I'm not seeing it yet. And like I said, her testimony's not over, so I'm open-minded about this. But court is dark for the weekend, and when it resumes on Monday, Jane is going to be back on the stand. We expect even more explosive details about what she says happened behind closed doors. And then the cross. The cross-examination. And if the past is any kind of prelude, we can expect Diddy's high-priced lawyers to come out with a baseball bat, right? Who knows if they're going to be able to impeach her or challenge her with her words or dates or locations, right? Like they have with other witnesses. But Friday, man, this was a cliffhanger. And if you want to go even deeper into this case, you should check out the latest episode of TMZ Presents, United States versus Sean Combs, Inside the Diddy Trial. Bill Maher was a guest with Harvey Levin and me and others, and I went after him. I took Bill Maher to task for a commentary that he gave on his show last week. If you missed it, go back and check it, first of all, on his show, or find it online because it's everywhere. Bill basically said that it's time for women to start standing up for themselves, and that, you know, post Me Too, it's their responsibility to leave these abusive relationships or call the police. I had a different opinion, one that I felt he hadn't considered when he made that, you know, declaration. And it had to do with, what about the women who are being beaten, right? Because sometimes those women feel like leaving or telling the cops is like signing your death warrant. So the consequences are a lot worse than the freak-offs. And Bill and I had a hell of an exchange. So here's a sneak peek at that episode.
We've learned by now that abuse is not love. And abusers don't change. If it happened once, it's going to happen again. And the other reason that sometimes people stay is, yes, it is kind of a deal with the devil. The allure of being a star makes people do a lot of weird shit.
Can I throw in a third reason? How about the consequences of leaving and the consequences of reporting are sometimes so much worse than whatever it is you're dealing with currently. I'm covering a case of a woman in Washington State right now who was supposed to be a guest on my show two nights ago, but she had to cancel at 8 o'clock at night because the police were there to tell her three daughters, 9, 8, and 5, had just been suffocated by the husband she left. So there are other reasons, Bill. And by the way, I watched everything you said. I watch you every single Friday. I never disagree with you. You're like a hero to me, and you have been for 25 years. This time I really did take issue because I'd been in that testimony moment to moment to the point of being revulsed and saddened by it. And I have seen it repeated over and over that so many of these people, men and women, were terrified of him and terrified of his tentacles.
Okay. I mean, there are no great choices sometimes. I agree. But you're saying the preferable choice is just to stay there? To stay
sometimes
in
if it means you stay alive. Yeah, I think the case of the Washington woman is a perfect one, and it's so proximate. It just happened. Sometimes you stay alive by keeping the status quo.
I guess it's a case by case basis. You know, I mean, yes, if your life is imminently in danger, I guess that's a different situation. I don't think that's what we're talking about here, and that's not what I was talking about, and that's not what we were just talking about with show business.
Again, check out TMZ Presents United States versus Sean Combs Inside the Diddy Trial. It's now streaming for free, and it's on Tubi. I'm Ashley Banfield. Thank you so much for watching. And remember, the truth isn't just serious. It's drop-dead serious.